We now journey to the seventh commandment, you shall not steal. This commandment calls us to respect the property and rights of others. Beyond material goods, it reminds us to uphold honesty, fairness, and integrity in all our dealings. Living this commandment invites us to practice generosity, cultivate trust, and foster justice in our families, communities, and society at large. These recordings from the Catholic Files podcast with Father Sean Donnelly of Immaculate Conception Church in Madison, Ohio, are part of a special 9-part series exploring the Ten Commandments through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. May these reflections strengthen your faith, deepen your understanding, and accompany you on your journey with Christ. And now here is Father Sean Donnelly.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Catholic Files. I'm Father Donnelly. Glad you're here listening. Presently, or through this section, we're continuing our walk together through the beauty and depth of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And there are 4 sections to the Catechism, minus this third section, which has to do with moral life, specifically with covering the Ten Commandments. So, whether you're new to the Catechism or returning with fresh eyes, this journey is for you. Let's start with a prayer. Dear Lord, help us to understand what it is we need to be doing to live the way you want us to live. Understanding, of course, that we need the grace to follow what we need to be doing and to be the people we're supposed to be. And we thank you for the grace that is made so available to us, especially through the sacraments. We pray these things for your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. We're now on the seventh commandment, which is, thou shalt not steal. And of course, stealing means unjustly taking or keeping the goods of one's neighbor without any permission, taking things from other people, basically. Now, people have a right to private property, whether acquired by work or received from others by inheritance or gift. And we have to respect other people's rights to private property. The ownership of any property makes its holder a steward of providence, with the task of making it fruitful and communicating its benefits to others, first of all to his family. So, we respect other persons and their rights to own things. And the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal, of course, forbids theft. That is, usurping another's property against the reasonable will of the owner. There is no theft if consent can be presumed or if refusal is contrary to reason and the universal destination of goods. This is according to the Catechism, number 2408. Any form of unjustly taking and keeping the property of others is against the seventh commandment. Thus, deliberate retention of goods lent or of objects lost, business fraud, paying unjust wages, forcing up prices by taking advantage of the ignorance or hardship of another. There are different forms of theft. So, promises must be kept and contracts strictly observed, to the extent that the commitments made in them are morally just. In virtue of commutative justice, reparation for injustice committed requires the restitution of stolen goods to their owner. We have the famous story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, but he was also an extortionist. And finally, Zacchaeus came to his senses. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it for full. That's Luke 19:8. So, it's required for people who steal something, for example, that the person repents and makes up for what it was that he took by giving it back to his owner or some equivalent thereof, if it's possible to do that. So, the seventh commandment is very important, and as has been noted, and some of you may have seen on television, some of our cities where we have gangs breaking into stores and just shoplifting, all kinds of things. And it's abetted by the fact that in some locales, get this, people are apparently allowed to steal $500 worth of things from stores before they will be arrested, which of course is a terrible lack of public order. When a local government of a city is basically permitting stealing, that's a terrible thing because it brings havoc into society. Now, stealing, unfortunately, has become a way of life for many Americans. Sometimes it's people are on addictive drugs, alcohol, heroin, or they have a perverted understanding coming from Marxist ideology of the individual's right to own his property, and of our courts and laxity in dealing with thieves. But just as because thievery is common and treated leniently by the police and the courts, it does not follow that it is not a serious sin. One of the reasons for the breakdown of our order in our society is that too many people do not respect the property of others. Now, the question that moralists might entertain is, when does stealing become a mortal sin? Is there a certain value of the good? They used to say $100. Some people now say $200. The only thing is, you know, stealing is a bad thing. Even if it's not a serious matter, objectively, it's not a good thing because sometimes it becomes very habitual. And this is when you get embezzlements taking place where people get used to taking things. I mean, Judas Iscariot was a classic embezzler, eventually 30 pieces of silver for betraying Jesus. But he was stealing from the treasury all along, see. There's something addictive about stealing, even in small amounts. And somebody could say, well, I only took, you know, $50, blah, blah, blah. Well, if the person from whom the individual took $50 only had $50, see, the crime of theft becomes magnified, relatively speaking. So, I don't know. Taking something from another person is not good. Even if a person works for a company and he's decided to take things home from work that really aren't his, and, you know, the company's worth millions of dollars and they'll never miss, you know, little things that he takes home, it's still not a good thing to do. You should make some restitution for it, possibly doing some extra work for the company on the side, or, you know, without getting paid or whatever the deal is. But it's not a good thing just to take things that don't belong to others. So, as a general rule, restitution should be made to the person from whom the thing was taken, if it's possible to do that. It's not always necessary for the person who took something that wasn't his own to reveal him, who he is, when making restitution. Restitution can be made secretly or anonymously. How can restitution be made to someone whose identity is not known? Well, Catholic moralists suggest giving the money or goods to the poor or some other worthy charity or to the missions, since it can reasonably be presumed that that would be in accordance with the wishes of the injured party. So, the obligation to restitution is a serious moral duty which should not be brushed off lightly. In fact, it is so serious that it extends to all those who assist another or to steal property from a third party. Thus, those who urge or counsel others to steal can be held to restitution. Also, those whose duty is to prevent stealing, such as policemen, watchmen, and employees of various kinds, when they help others steal by turning the other way, can be held to the requirement to make restitution. The right to private property. People have a right to private property, and the commandment, thou shalt not steal, assumes that. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense if people didn't have a right to their own property. Now, communists or Marxists will say that only the state has a right to private property, but that's an infringement on human rights, that particular train of thought. the intrinsic dignity of persons, which is another important aspect. A person, because of our intrinsic dignity, cannot be considered an object to be owned. So that this is one reason that slavery is to be utterly rejected in all of its forms and condemned, because people are not property. People are people. So that's another thing, to say the least. The right to private property is not an absolute right, that it is limited and conditioned by a number of other factors. We have limitations in a couple of forms. One is rugged individualism, that holds that private property is an absolute in the sense that the lawful owner can do anything he wishes with his possessions since they belong to him, which has been denounced in Catholic social teaching because it wholly ignores and implicitly denies the social nature of man. The world is given to all and not only to the rich. The other extreme, outside, apart from the so-called rugged individualism, is one that simply denies that man has the natural right to private ownership. Now, just because some rich people have abused their property does not follow that the right to private property should be lost or denied. Just because some people drive recklessly and kill others, it does not follow that all cars should be destroyed. No, strict justice, which means giving to each person what is his due or what is coming to him, must certainly be observed by all in the matter of private property. Both charity and justice go together in solving social problems and working for the common good. So, the right to property, a fair day's work for a fair day's pay, a just labor contract imposes obligations on labor and management. Employers are obliged to pay a just wage. Sometimes it doesn't happen, and in a sense, it's almost like stealing from the people who are not being given the wages that they need or that are commensurate with the work they're doing. The thrill of gambling, some people would wonder, well, is gambling an issue at all when it comes to the whole idea of property and what our attitude should be? Immoderate gambling is an issue. Many evils can flow from that. When gambling becomes an addiction, it can lead to all kinds of evils, such as stealing, robbery, lying, neglect of duty, drunkenness, and suicide. The basic reason why moderate gambling is not illicit is that a person is entitled to dispose of his own property as he wills, provided that he does not render himself incapable of fulfilling his other duties, such as caring for his family or paying his debts. Gambling can be sinful when a person has no right to risk the money he bets, either because it does not belong to him or because he needs it to fulfill other obligations. In conclusion, it is important to remember that gambling is licit, provided that one can do so without neglecting other obligations. Moderation here is essential. If a person cannot control his urge to bet once he gets started, he should not bet at all. So, private property. We have a right to private property. We have also obligations to use what we have to help others. So the idea of having charity for the poor, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about justice and charity go together. And God blesses those who come to the aid of the poor and rebukes those who turn away from them. So if somebody is wealthy or has more than everybody needs, then he's in a particularly good position to help people in need. And works of mercy come into play here. Clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, and other things. Of course, visiting the sick and the imprisoned, burying the dead. So it's, you don't take money from other people What do we do with our own money? How do we use it? And if we're running a company, are we paying our people a just wage? And if we owe something to some person, people, or person from whom we took something that wasn't rightfully ours, or even from a company, what kind of retribution did we make, and how did we do it? And, you know, obviously going to confession, for Catholics, people go down the list of commandments, thou shalt not steal, you know, have I stolen anything? And even small things. And receive the forgiveness that we need. And always to be careful about, you know, this world's goods. I remember a fellow who was very upset because his son owed him some money, and the son couldn't or wouldn't pay it back. So the father and the son hadn't talked in years. Well, people are more important than things. So my own thought, and you don't have to agree with me here. This is not really a church teaching, but when it comes to family members, better just to give people money. If they pay it back, fine. If they don't, they don't. But don't make it a point where, if so-and-so, you know, my nephew doesn't pay my money, this money back, I'll never talk to him again or whatever. I mean, that's not good. Things are important, but they're not everything, so to speak. I mean, people are more important than things. So we have to keep that in mind. And pray for people who are addicted to gambling. Some people are immoderate gambling. And also, people who are embezzlers, there's quite a bit of that goes on. It's not always caught. Not to take for granted public order either, that we have good local laws and enforcement thereof, so we don't have stores being raided and with gangs of shoplifters coming in, as has been happening. And doing whatever we can do to uphold public order, to respect other people, and respect their rights to ownership, and fit into society the way we need to fit in. I mean, because we're social animals, basically. So, with that in mind, my dear friends, thank you for listening, and may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Until next week, stay rooted in the faith.
Thank you for listening. We sincerely hope and pray that this recording from the Catholic Files podcast, featuring Father Sean Donnelly of Immaculate Conception Church in Madison, Ohio, reflecting on the Ten Commandments through the teachings of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, draws you ever closer to the loving heart of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Ten Commandments are not merely rules. They are a roadmap to holiness, a guide to living in right relationship with God and with our neighbors. As you listen, allow your heart to be open to God's grace. Let His truth illuminate your mind, and let His love transform your soul. For those seeking to deepen their faith, we invite you to explore more of the Catholic Files weekly podcast with Father Donnelly at www.iccmadison.com. And whether you are near or far, know that the Church, Christ's living body, is always welcoming you to encounter Him through the celebration of the Holy Mass. Please download these audios to share with your friends and family. May these reflections on the Ten Commandments inspire you to live with integrity, humility, and joy. And always carry in your heart the greatest of all commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole mind. Let this commandment guide your actions, your thoughts, and your prayers each day. For in loving God fully, we learn to love others as He has loved us. Thank you for listening. May God fill your life with His peace, surround you with His love, and guide you always on the path of faith and holiness. May the joy of Christ dwell in your heart today and every day.